This lesson is entitled Implementing Care Groups in Adult Sunday School with Tim Christensen. Brother Christensen serves as an associate pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church, overseeing the adult Bible classes. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
We are going to teach on implementing care groups. I'm sorry you have a separate handout. If you didn't get it, raise your hand. If you didn't get this when you came in. I just didn't want you to have to find the page in the book. It's so thick that I just thought it would be easier to get your handout. That's not exactly why I did the handout. But we send that book to print about 3 months before the conference, and I just wasn't ready, and I didn't have the outline done in time. That's a first for me. This is my 15th conference, and I think I've spoken in 10 of them. And this is the first time I didn't make the deadline, so I feel pretty bad. I've been depressed about it ever since April, and hopefully you'll forgive me. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. That's what I was looking for. So I have an outline there for you. You can follow along. And we will move through it reasonably quickly. And then I want to give time for questions and answers more in particular in this session than in others. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to meet our needs and to bless this session. Brother Dalton, would you lead us in prayer for this session? Amen. This lesson is appropriate this afternoon because it picks up where Pastor left off in his 11 o'clock session. He emphasized in his last point the adult Bible classes, whatever you want to call them, adult Bible fellowships, adult Bible groups, life groups, growth groups, connection groups, whatever you call them, doesn't matter really as much as the fact that you're working on those principles of bonding new Christians with mature Christians, getting them into a small group where they're going to have needs met, the Bible taught, and do life together in a New Testament kind of a way, just like the believers did in the first century. And so we have the adult classes. Yesterday I taught a lesson on the five functions of adult class. We said the adult class exists to reach people, to connect people with others, to teach the Bible, to grow people toward maturity, and we talked about how we do that, and then to develop leaders by giving people a place to serve. So the Sunday school, if you'll remember, that it's not just an educational institution in the church or an educational function in the church. It really is an evangelistic and an educational function in the church, and I think it has those five functions. Reaching people, first and foremost, then bonding them with one another. Sunday school isn't just for teaching. If it were, we wouldn't have many Sunday school classes, we would just find the best two or three teachers. In fact, just put everybody in the auditorium and let Pastor teach. He's the best Bible communicator we have here. So Sunday school is not just for teaching. Sunday school is for building relationships. Sunday school is for reaching people. And so we've broken it down by age group so that we can more effectively do that. Each class owns the soul-winning efforts for that age group. And so it breaks down who we're trying to reach and how we're trying to reach them, and it gives us a strategy. Pastor told me my first week here 14 years ago that the Sunday school is the church organized to fulfill the purpose of the church. And so the Sunday school is how we get organized to do our work as a church, fulfill the Great Commission, reach folks for Christ, disciple them, and get the work of God done. And so Sunday school is a big deal to us. We taught on the five functions of the Sunday school yesterday. John Stone taught an excellent session, I think, Tuesday on of the characteristics of a healthy Sunday school. I would encourage you to listen to those MP3s. There's going to be quite a little bit of overlap here with his session and my sessions. And then yesterday I taught a lesson in the afternoon on starting new classes annually. I would say that you really need to combine what was taught in that lesson with what you combine with what we teach in this lesson, because this lesson is on establishing care groups in classes. And I want you to know that as a class grows larger, it's important that that class develops care groups. Otherwise, you lose what you're trying to accomplish in Sunday school. Because that second purpose of the Sunday school, or the second function of the Sunday school, is to to connect new members, to help them make friends, and to bond and to meet one another's needs in the context of the local church, just as the Bible teaches. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. 1 Thessalonians, we were gentle among you as a nurse cherishes her children. Read the book of James. There are a lot of relational things that are supposed to be taking place in the church. Read Acts chapter 2, how they met one another's needs and sold their possessions and parted to every man as he had need. If you study these scriptures, you find out that the Sunday school is a relational deal. And it's how we get relationships happening in the church and people introduced to others in a church this size. We said yesterday that in a church of 40 or 50 or 60, most of that happens without much of a strategy. It just happens because we love people and we want to practice New Testament Christianity. But once a church grows, you have to get organized and figure out how you're going to do it. Just like in Acts chapter 6, they were facing a dilemma where the church was growing so large that needs weren't being met and so forth, and so they had to get organized so they could do that better. That's really why we have a Sunday school, in big part, is so that we can make sure that what we're trying to do as a church is getting done through the Sunday school. And so we, as churches, have a lot of questions about how we get things done. How do we make sure that new Christians have a friend? How do we get people growing? How do we follow up on visitors? How do we teach young couples how to be good husbands and wives, and teach parents how to be godly parents? And the answer to a lot of these questions is the Sunday school. How do we meet needs, and how do we do hospital visitation, and how do we provide care and cultivate prayer in the church? The answer to a lot of those questions isn't start a new ministry for that area or to meet that need. The answer to a lot of those questions for us is we want to do that through the Sunday school. Okay. So if you combine what we talked about yesterday, which was starting new classes, with what we're going to talk about today, which is implementing care groups in the classes, you're going to have the full picture. So as a class grows larger, so let's say someone starts a Sunday school class with a dozen people or two or three people, and it grows to 20 or 30, what do you do next? And that's where the answer comes in the form of care groups. And it's really important that you consider this, because if the class continues to grow, it's going to become large enough that what you hoped would happen in those five functions is going to cease happening. Just like if you tried to have everyone go to Sunday school in the auditorium, one big class for the whole church in a church this size, a lot of things that you're wanting to happen in Sunday school in the way of relationship development, discipleship, mentoring, friendship, bonding, care, you lose that when the group gets past a certain size. Everybody wants to know what size. When is a class too big to keep these things happening? And there is no number to answer that question. The question depends on two factors. One is the capacity of the leader. And the second answer to the question is whether there are functioning care groups. And care groups can help a class grow larger and still maintain some of those things we're going to hope will happen in Sunday school. Let's read a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that helps us to understand the biblical context of why we need to give attention to this issue. 1 Corinthians 12:18, God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now they are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So you understand very well the analogy that is used in 1 Corinthians 12 of the body. We are connected to one another. We function with one another. We work together. We meet one another's needs. We are interdependent, okay? But how do we keep church from becoming a situation where people come, they listen, and they leave, and there's no interconnectedness? People aren't sharing burdens. People aren't overcoming challenges with the help of a more mature Christian. People aren't developing accountability. people aren't growing and becoming open and honest with about how things are going in their marriage or with their kids. People are having burdens that aren't being shared and borne by fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. How do we make sure that we create an environment where relationships are happening like they're supposed to happen based on the teachings of 1 Corinthians 12? The Sunday school is the answer to that question, but in a class that grows larger than 20 or 30, there's more to it than just having a Sunday school class or having a menu of Sunday school classes. When the class gets to a certain size, we need to establish care groups. Care groups. Care groups are where you divide a class into groups within the class and then deputize care group leaders to take some of the responsibility for those areas of the class with respect to the care, the nurturing, the prayer, and the relationship development of the group. In your notes, there's a quote from Steve Parr. The name of the book is Sunday School That Really Works. I'd recommend it. I wouldn't give you a blanket endorsement for it because I'm sure there's something there that one or two of us or all of us might not agree with, but good book on the nuts and bolts of the Sunday school. And he says, care groups will not work on autopilot. You can't just set it all up and now it works and then you can leave it alone and it's maintenance free. Nothing like that is like that in the ministry, is it? So care groups aren't. The teacher or a care group coordinator must train the care group leaders and maintain regular contact with them for encouragement and accountability. Someone from the class must take responsibility to initiate regular contact and develop a relationship with them. When you think about this as far as contacting people, I was reading in Jeremiah yesterday morning and this morning how that God was condemning the pastors for not visiting his flock. And God wants us as shepherds to have a shoulder-rubbing ministry with our flock. Someone said a good shepherd smells like sheep. And that's a good analogy. And we oftentimes can become accustomed to just showing up, delivering a sermon, or showing up and delivering a lesson in a classroom and not really rubbing shoulders and not really bonding and not really meeting needs like we need to. So, number one, let me talk to you about the definition of a care group leader. The definition of a care group leader. The care group leader helps his or her class leader to create an atmosphere of warmth and belonging in the class by caring for, having fellowship with, and communicating to the assigned members of the class. I'll give you a ratio later, and the ratio could flex based on the capacity of the care group leaders or the size of the class or the nature of the class, but they're taking a portion of the class. And if a class grows to the point that it needs two care groups, which would be the first step, then each of these care group leaders is caring for and praying for and contacting half of the class. And then the class continues to grow, and then you split it into three care groups and so forth. Brother Furso has the largest adult class in our church. He probably has 20 care group leaders. And we need to make sure they're working well to get the job done. The definition of a care group leader. Number two, the description of a care group leader. Who makes a good care group leader? Okay, they don't have to be a gifted teacher to be a care group leader. They don't have to be super organized or they don't have to be someone who's been a Christian for 30 years. But there are a few characteristics they must possess. Letter A, a sincere love for people. A sincere love for people. And you know who those people are. Letter B, we want every leader in the class to have a passion to reach people for Christ and to serve those people on Christ's behalf. A passion to reach people and serve people. This needs to be the kind of a person that would be a self-starter to go engage a new person or to make sure someone had their need met who they didn't recognize or know. Letter C, loyalty to the church ministry and leadership. Loyalty. Person who is unified with the church in doctrine and who doesn't have an axe to grind, but someone who's loyal. And then letter D, the spiritual gifts of exhortation and mercy. In Romans 12, 6 through 8, there are listed seven spiritual gifts, right? And I would say the two most important gifts that a care group leader could possess would be exhortation and mercy. Exhortation, we think of encouragement and someone offering an encouraging word. We think of Barnabas, the son of consolation, and someone who's encouraging and uplifting to those around them. That's probably the most important gift. And a mercy shower is someone who cares for folks who are hurt and wounded and who maybe have maybe the hurts and the wounds are even of their own making. But they like to show mercy. And God gave them that as a gift. The third issue we'd like to discuss today is the duties of a care group leader. This is their 10-point job description right out of our adult leaders manual. So this is the description we go over with the care group leaders when we ask them to consider taking on this responsibility. We tell them first, it is their job to make class visitors feel welcomed, to direct them to the class secretary to record their name on the visitor sheet. Okay, let's talk real nuts and bolts for a second. If this were our classroom and if you were our class and this was Sunday morning, one of you would be designated as the class secretary, okay? And the secretary checks people's names present when they arrive, and the most important thing the secretary does is get a record of anyone who's new to the class that day, because if you don't have their address and phone number, you can't follow up with them. And so she's looking for visitors, or he's looking for visitors, but we want the care group leaders to be deputized. And in a class this size, we would probably have four or five care group leaders. And we want the care group leaders to be deputized to keep their eye peeled. Did you ever notice that human nature is just, especially the longer someone's been in the church, it's to gravitate to the people they've always known and to form a little circle talking to each other about nothing wrong, but about nothing that has to do with trying to reach someone this morning for the Lord. And so sometimes you'll have your guys over here fellowshipping with their donut and with their coffee, and they have their back to the door, and they're engaged in conversation, and if a visitor walks in, frankly, they don't even care. At least their body language and their behavior indicates they don't care. Well, I've worked hard to try to get my care group leaders in my class to understand that if you see someone walk in that you think is probably new, you are deputized, and I expect you to go introduce yourself and engage them, and then make sure, we have to work together here, that whenever there's a visitor in our class, we make sure we get them connected to the secretary so that she can record their visitor information. This is a different topic, but she also invites them to enroll in the class on the spot right then. Letter B. We ask the care group leaders to be alert to spiritual needs, family needs, and physical needs within their group. And we ask them to remember to communicate those to the class leader. We tell the care group leaders, if you find out that someone's struggling, maybe there's an addiction, maybe there's a sin or a betrayal, or maybe there's a hospitalization or an illness or a financial difficulty, we expect you to run that information up the chain of command. Get that to the class leader, because if we don't know about it, we can't deploy into action and try to meet those needs. This becomes a communication chain so that the pastor becomes aware of needs in the life of the church as well. And that is not gossip. That is following the principles of godly spiritual leadership and oversight. The teachers, we've told them that they are an extension of the pastor's ministry. And it's not acceptable for a class member to go to a teacher and say, I need to confide in you something, but you can't tell pastor. That just doesn't happen. He would say, well, don't tell me if you don't want pastor to know, because I'm an extension of his ministry in your life. And I need to keep him posted because he's the shepherd of the flock. And if you tell me that you've cheated on your spouse or you're dabbling in alcohol or you're thinking about, you know, quitting your job or changing vocations or leaving the church or whatever, whether it's a spiritual issue or a financial issue or a health issue or a moral issue, I am an extension of his ministry, and I'm connected to him, and I've got to let him know. So that the teachers understand that, and then the teachers need to help the care group leaders understand that same principle. Letter C. We ask the leaders to schedule times at least once each quarter for fellowship with their group, either in their home or at another location, maybe a restaurant or something of this nature. But the whole idea is that they are showing the initiative to cultivate fellowship with their 1/4 of the class or 1/6 of the class or half of the class. This is aside from and in addition to church activities and class activities. This is just them getting together. This and a lot of this should happen organically and naturally, and sometimes it does, but a lot of times it doesn't happen, or you miss people if you don't intentionally say, okay, this is your group, and we expect you to have fellowship with them once a quarter. And we try to remind them and work with them. Not all of their group is going to show up. If they have a barbecue at their house, or if they go out for pie after church on a Sunday night, not everybody's going to show up. And so we ask them to follow up on the ones who didn't show up and try to have fellowship with them. They don't have to have the whole group there. Even if they have five couples in their group, they could go out five times for all I care with a different one each time. But however they decide to do it, but have fellowship. It's how people, this is how people make bonds and forge relationships and connections in the church. And it's what really helps them to stick and to retain because it's all about relationships. Next, letter D, we ask them to contact their absentees weekly by either writing them or emailing them or calling them or even visiting them in some cases. Contact their absentees. Letter E, we ask them to send encouraging notes to the members of their group. This could be done as often as possible or as often as relevant, but we ask them to shoot for once per quarter. There is tremendous power in an encouraging note. And again, a lot of times you intend to write a note, but you don't get around to it unless you're intentional about it. Letter F, provide meals for members from yourself and other members of the group when needed. If someone's ill or hospitalized or has some special needs, provide meals. If a young family comes home with a new baby from the hospital, it's typical that we will, through the care group, set up four meals, and the care group leader is the point of contact, and they let the young mom and dad know, okay, I'm lining up meals, and when are you coming home from the hospital, and so-and-so is going to bring your meal this night, what time would you like it, and so-and-so is going to bring your meal this night, and they're the go-between and the contact. And that's just it's a great exercise. It's been a part of helping to reach people who are newer, who just the love overwhelmed them. And it's a good way to exercise biblical Christianity in the context of the Sunday school class. Letter G, submit a completed care group report each week to the class secretary. Now, I thought I was going to have a sample for you. Is there a sample? Is it attached to the lesson? Is it? Brother McKinley, where are you at? I do have one here. I didn't think I had one. Okay, so as you might have guessed, this is a hypothetical couple. But if you can picture this Excel spreadsheet being five times longer than this, or 10 times longer than this, with a bunch of names, this is how it would look. I wanted you to know the columns. So these care group reports, one per care group leader, is provided attached to the roll each Sunday. And so when the class secretary picks up the roll from the Sunday school station on Sunday morning, she's got the roll, and then she's got, in my class, 6 care group reports. And she gives those to the 6 care group leaders. They fill them out, and they give them back to her. And it lets us know phone calls that were made that week, visits that were made that week, cards that were sent that week, fellowship that was had that week, and whether that person attended that week, the Sunday school class, okay? And they keep a copy for themselves at the beginning of the new quarter so that they can keep track and recognize birthdays and anniversaries and so forth. Letter H. If you have questions, just jot them down in the margin and we'll come back to them in a few minutes. Witness for Christ regularly and carry out the Great Commission. Participate in the weekly soul winning program. So we ask our care group leaders to commit themselves to being part of the soul winning ministry. We ask most of our church leaders to commit to being involved in soul winning, choir members, Sunday school teachers, care group leaders, disciplers. Letter I, seek to involve the members of your care group in church-wide events and class activities. Now, this is really nuts and bolts right here, too. If we have a revival coming up, we want the care group leaders to encourage the participation of their care group at the revival meeting. And so we want them encouraging them and looking for them, and maybe even having dinner as a group together one night before the revival meeting. One of the care groups in my class has a tradition every year. They come over to the care group leader's home on Vision Night. Vision Night is our New Year's Eve service or our New Year's weekend service. And that's been a big tradition, and it gets the group out, and it gets them to that service, which is usually a landmark service for people. So they work at that. If there's a men's and boys' camp out coming up, like we have in June every year, we want the care group leaders to be encouraging their care group and asking them if they need anything and trying to get the guys in the care group that have never been to one of these events to come out to the event this time. Letter J. Pray faithfully for the members of the care group. So we want them to pray over this list regularly so that they can sincerely, genuinely be praying for this portion of the flock and letting the folks know that they're praying for them and finding out what prayer requests they might have. Be prepared to participate in the prayer chain. We used to have a prayer chain with captains and all this, and then we just decided to do it through the Sunday school and through the care group. So if we have an emergency prayer request, it starts with some phone calls to some department leaders who call Sunday school teachers, who call care group leaders, who call the members. So if those calls are made like they're supposed to, you can notify thousands of people in the course of maybe a 12-hour period that there's an urgent prayer request. Letter K, attend seasonal training events and class leadership meetings. So when we have training once or twice a year with all the care group leaders, and then we want them to meet with their teacher a few times a year. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Before we get to the design of the care group, that's number four, the design of the care group structure. I want to tell you about a change we made. The classroom I teach is about this size and is about this many chairs. And what we did several months ago was we brought in seven round tables for the seven care groups. And we put the care group's leader's name on the table, and then we had one table for overflow because just in case, you know, there were out-of-town people or if a care group filled up their table and needed to spill over. And that really helped us. And they sat at round tables. We didn't change anything about the format of the class. The format of our class typically is, it's about a 50-minute class, not including the time of coffee and donuts at the beginning. And if we say the Sunday school hour starts here, that's when we expect people to come and fellowship. And then about 10 minutes after that, we start the class, call the class to order, sing a song, take prayer requests, make announcements, pray together as a class, receive an offering, and then teach about a 30-minute lesson. That's the typical adult Sunday school class order of service around here. But all we did was change the configuration of the furniture, and it really I was pleased with the dynamic that occurred because I asked the care group leaders to show up on time and to be at their table. And then as folks walked in, they were directed to which table their care group was sitting at. And they were able to fellowship instead in a corner with the people they always talk to. What happened in my class oftentimes, it happens in your classes too, the three or four guys who know each other get there early and they bond with each other. And they don't need to spend extra time with each other. They spend time with each other during the week and they've known each other for all these years. And you'll have them over here fellowshipping and it's good. I'm glad they're enjoying fellowship. But then you'll have a new couple sitting over here that they just walked in and they don't know anybody. And they're just sitting there looking at a wall while everybody else is having fun. And they conclude over time that this is a clique that I'm not going to be welcomed into. And it's not a big negative thing, it's just human nature. It's not, no one was being offensive or rude or unkind. It just is human nature. They were together and they didn't break in. But this just basically set a level playing field and everyone was assigned to a care group. And so as they came in, they sat with, and so they had their donuts and coffee at a table. And so now, instead of three care group leaders bunching over here, I separated them, kind of like you do in junior church. You separate the kids, and I made them really kind of force them to fellowship with their group, which is kind of what we were asking them to do when we asked them to be a care group leader. And then instead of praying as a group, when we have prayer time, I just asked them to exchange requests at their table and pray at the table. And that's the only thing we changed about the class. I still taught a 30-minute lesson and so forth. And I really have enjoyed that change. And I would suggest you consider it. Some churches say, okay, if you're going to have an hour of Sunday school, have the first 20 minutes with them at their care group leaders, and then at their care group clusters or tables or circles of chairs, and then call the class to order and do 40 minutes. That's fine, too, or 30 minutes. Others do it different ways. You could do discussion at the tables if you wanted to. You can develop it however you'd like. We're going to try to introduce next Sunday a situation where at every lesson there's a little bit of a decision to make and some things to write down at the end of the lesson. It's still going to be a primarily lecture-style lesson, but it's going to be a little more interaction for those that are there. So the design of the care group structure. Letter A care group consists of 5 to 8 individuals or 5 to 8 couples. So it's 5 to 8 people in a singles class. It's 10 to 16 people in a couples class because you can reach out to a couple kind of with one phone call or one letter or one visit. Letter B. This is a key component to a successful care group ministry right here, letter B. When a new enrollee is assigned to a care group, he should receive contact immediately from the assigned care group leader. Let's go back to our sample class. If we're a class and we have 4 or 5 care group leaders and we have a secretary, that secretary invites a visitor to enroll. She says, thank you for coming to the class today. You've already filled out your information on this page that has the information so we can follow up with you. I want to give you this form, and if you fill this form out, you can enroll in the class, which basically means we can recognize you on your birthday and anniversary, and we can let you know about coming class activities, and we can keep you posted about what's happening in the class. And 9 out of 10 people who we ask to enroll on the spot. And I like that because, and I've talked about this in other sessions in the past, but I like that because that's their decision, and that's their opportunity to make a voluntary decision about making this class my class. Most people, before they decide to join the church, have decided to join a class. And it's just the way it works in an evangelistic Sunday school. Enrollment is a big exercise. But let me tell you, they take that step to say, yeah, I want to become a part of this class. Okay, I'll enroll. That, to me, is a critical step. And it's a big flag that waves that, okay, this person just took one big step closer to becoming a part of this family. Now, we need to take one step back this week. And this week, someone needs to thank them for enrolling in the class, and we need to do something about what they did. It's a response. You ever send an email to somebody and you wonder if they got it because they never replied? Okay, so this is our reply. Our response to this person who enrolled is a call from the care group leader on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday that basically says, you enrolled in True North on Sunday when you were at the class. Whether this person met them or not is moot. But you enrolled in the class on Sunday, and I am a care group leader in the class. And basically what that means is I'm going to be praying for you, and I want to introduce myself to you on Sunday. And I just want you to know that if there's ever a prayer request that you have or ever a need that you have or if you ever have a question or anything I can do for you, I just want you to have my number and my name, and we'll get to know each other over the coming weeks. And maybe we can sit together this Sunday. And then eventually he'll be inviting them to have fellowship with him and so forth. So that's just a little touch that week, okay? Letter C. Different care group leaders will exercise different strengths. Some care group leaders are better at fellowship. Others are better at writing notes. Others are real prayer warriors. But different care group leaders will exercise different strengths. You're just going to have to allow for that and accept that because they are different. Letter D, that is one reason why care groups should be rotated and reset every 6 to 9 months. So once someone is in someone's care group, they're not in that care group until the rapture. Okay, they rotate around and they change care groups. There's several reasons for that. One is the fact that different people have different strengths, And another reason is some care groups are going to shrink over time and some are going to grow over time disproportionately because of people moving away or because of people switching classes or because of new people coming into the class. Letter E. Teachers should meet every 6 to 9 months with their care group leaders to express gratitude, to provide training, and to strengthen weaknesses. So every 6 to 9 months, I need to meet with my care group leaders and say, okay, I've updated the care group lists. Here's your new list. And I want you to let me know if there's somebody on that list that you don't know or you haven't gotten to know yet. And I recognize that there's one or two people on those lists that don't come to church as much as the rest. But that's your chore the next few months is to get to know them and to reach out to them and contact them, introduce yourself, engage them. And sometimes we'll see someone who didn't respond to one care group leader. All of a sudden you have a care group leader that's maybe a little better at outreach or a little better at engaging people, and they'll respond to that care group leader. Because and we end up regaining someone who was kind of fizzling or sporadic because a care group leader kind of sunk their teeth in. And then at that care group meeting, I'll probably thank them and we'll have a meal together or something. Just even, you know, at home or at a restaurant or just even over coffee at church. And then I will let the care group leaders know that there's some things I think we can do better. And I'll talk about not clustering up in one corner of the room while we ignore visitors. And I'll talk to them about writing notes and things of this nature, because there's some things we just didn't do well this last few months at. I saw that we just, as I looked at the reports, I noticed that they didn't write many notes or, you know, things of that nature. Maybe at that training meeting we'll talk about some upcoming events and how I'd like for them to take responsibility now and commit to getting their group to a class activity or to a revival or to something of this nature.